Hey, yo, what's up, guys, and welcome to another episode of Let's Get Real. My name is Brandon, and you already know the intro, but hey, I can't help playing it. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's roll it. Lego. That's right. Thank you so much for tuning in, guys. We hope that you've enjoyed all the episodes that you have watched and we've put out as well. Now, it's very important for me to introduce our guest, as always. And this time around, we have a very special guest with us. You may have noticed him. 如果你讲华语的啦, huh? Even if you speak English, you may have noticed him. But you would have seen him on YouTube, on Instagram, on the social media space. And today, it is our privilege and our pleasure to invite for the first time to share his story on the set of Let's Get Real. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for none other than Mr. Bernard Hugh!
Hey, hi, everybody! Hey, what's up, everybody? Hi, I'm Bernard. Thank you for inviting me for this show. It's not often that I appear in a show.
Right.
And it's in a podcast concept that I speak in English.
Yeah, I know, right? That's why I said, 如果你讲华语, I started off like that first.
So for those of you who may not know, most of the time I create content, but based on Mandarin.
That's
so
right.
I have a YouTube channel that I speak in Mandarin. Mm. For 16 years in the entertainment industry, I'm doing Mandarin. But my first language is English.
So your Mandarin is you know how to read and write or not?
So I did Chinese primary school. But I also did high school Duzhong. That means it's a private Chinese school. Uh-huh. But all the time my Mandarin is F. So I failed all my Mandarin. And because I come from Sabah, right? So you know how we jumpo the Hakka together with the Mandarin. So my Mandarin is failed. So the question is, how did I survive in the Chinese industry for so long?
Yellow.
Right? The only way I had to do it is that I had to relearn my Mandarin.
So you relearn from scratch?
So I relearn from scratch. Correct.
So all the Mandarin content that I watch on YouTube and everything like that, that's relearn from scratch, right?
Yes, correct. So I did it when in the first year when I went into the entertainment industry. I had a tutor to teach me how to do Mandarin.
Wow.
And then I relearned my Cantonese so I could host in English, BM. Right now, I can do BM. I can do English. I can do Mandarin. I can do Cantonese fluently.
So, 你懂廣東話?
我懂廣東話, 是的。 那我現在可以主持廣東話, 都可以講廣東話。
Wow.
所以如果香港藝人來到馬來西亞的時候, 我是可以做翻譯, 我也可以做主持。
哇,一個真真正正的廣東話, 真的那些香港TVB drama that kind, you know.
So, that story also came up because I had to shoot in a sitcom, right? And the whole sitcom was in, actually, it's all written in Cantonese. Every character in that show speaks Cantonese, but I had the privilege to only speak it in Mandarin, right? But I said, no, I will do it in Cantonese. I will learn Cantonese.
Right.
So I had to learn it myself so that the scriptwriter don't have to write it in Mandarin, you see.
Wow, it's very rare to find a non-native Cantonese speaker who knows Cantonese and not just the bad word, but knows how to speak proper Cantonese, not just all the, you know, all those kind of bad word Cantonese.
Because I came out from an accounting background.
Right.
So, I mean, we're going to get into it later
on. Yeah, yeah.
But when I went to industry, I felt that if I'm going to do it, I want to give my best, right?
Fantastic.
So what is my best? My best is to, okay, if I don't know how to do it, I make sure I know how to learn how to do it.
Wow.
So if as long as I give my best and learn how to do it, then the fault will not be on me because I gave my best. Yeah. So
very
that was
good.
My principle.
That's a good mentality to have. And I think that's the reason why the longevity is there. That's why you can survive 16 years.
Yeah, so
by
this
the
year
way.
Is my 16 years.
16 years, right?
Yeah.
It's my 10th year. So you're my senpai, Yeah. Sifu. And it's true because we know we're in this industry, not many people actually last that long. Only, say, a handful.
And especially if you look at 16 years or 10 years, you have the whole wave of traditional media.
Exactly.
And it went into right now digital media.
All right.
And then now it's short form media as well.
Yep.
So how do you pivot across that? So a senior in my industry told me before, and he is a very senior in this line, right? And he told me that, Bernard, when you come into this industry, the key is not how high you can fly.
Mm.
It's how long you can last.
That's right. Yeah. Very wise words.
So I learned from there. So I just want to fly high and last long.
Thank you. That also helps me a lot.
That's all for today. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for watching, guys. We'll run out of time. Last words, buddy. Great, Bernard, you know, thank you so much for sharing that. But thanks for putting things into context. I think that's very good that you started off like that. So people already have a background. They know, okay, what to expect, what you're doing now as well, and what to look forward to for the next 16 years. So thank you for putting things into perspective. Now, as always on Let's Get Real, right? You mentioned, you talked a little bit about just now the entertainment industry, how long you've been in here. And you said as well, you know, you started a YouTube channel with your partner.
Yeah.
Musang King channel.
Correct.
And obviously I've seen Musang King channel as well.
Right.
Very, very hilarious, both of you.
Right.
And while we know you, Bernard Hugh, from Musang King channel and from YouTube and things like that, the premise of the show today is very different, as you would know. And I want to talk about Bernard Hugh, not from Musang King channel, but Bernard Hugh, Bernard Hugh.
Right.
Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, and that's why we're going to go back to the source right now. Mm. And we're going to want to rewind back to the past a little bit here. I don't think I want to ask how old you are.
40. I'm 40 this year.
All right. I mean, woo, voluntarily, let's go. You're 40 this year.
It's
a massive milestone, by the way, 40
years. Yeah, I'm actually in the midst of praying about what is my next 40 years going to be. If supposedly 80 years is how long I'll last. I'm already living 50% of my life already, right? And I mean, like, my whole concept is always to give my best in what I do. Mm. But when it comes to last 40 or the next half of my life, I want to make it count, not just for myself. Because right now, I'm married. Too bad. Okay.
I think that ship has sailed a long time ago, Bernard, by the way.
Just in case.
Okay. Fair enough.
And I've got two children with me already. Yeah. And it's about how do I become that role model to my children, not only to my children, and also for the people who are coming up in the industry or people in church. You know, right now they're asking about, hey, how is the media industry like? How is it going to be like? So, yeah, I'm just praying for a direction right now. I mean, like, okay, how do I make the rest of my 40 years really, really count? Not just for myself and for people that I impact now,
Good.
And that's also one of the reasons why I wanted to take this interview as well. Because while the YouTube scene has been really beneficial for me because I get to be myself. So earlier in the traditional days, you're playing a character.
Yeah.
You're either playing a character, a role, or acting as a movie, or you're playing a role as a TV host only. And most of your personality doesn't come out.
Yeah.
You don't have your point of view. You don't have that. But whilst there are opportunities to do it now, how are you going to use that platform or even this platform especially to even talk about yourself, your beliefs, and also about where your direction is. So I think it actually draws audiences a little bit closer at the same time. So I want to be very mindful of how I use this influencer.
Very good. You know, that's a great, I would say, attitude to have as well. Especially now, at 40 years old, you're still thinking about how you can do this. A lot of people think after 40, then that's it already. You know, they've lived their best life, their prime is gone, and you're still at it. So that's one thing that I find very admirable. Now, like I said again, we want to know Bernard Hugh today. So I want to take you back, Bernard, into the time capsule. I want to push you all the way back because you're 40 years old right now. Let's bring you back to maybe even 4 years old. I think people are dying to know. I'm also wanting to know, what was it like? You know, you mentioned you were from Sabah as well. What was it like growing up for you? You know, can you share a little bit about that kind of background?
So first and foremost, we do not live on trees.
our producer from Sabah as well is laughing behind.
Serious?
He's from Sabah.
Which part of Sabah? KK, I'm from KK also. Wait, I'm from Chongqing.
Yeah.
Which year? Serious ah?
My wife was also born in KK. I've told you before.
Serious?
You know her uncle. I'm the minority here, by the way, just so you know.
So they obviously vetted me before I come on the show.
Correct. We went through your entire profile already.
I spoke to my church leader, and this guy for real. Nah.
Check already, call already, pastor.
So I grew up in Sabah, and I grew up in a non-believing family, obviously. Right. What happened was my dad was a very successful businessman, and he was doing a lot of traveling and all that. I don't remember what happened when I was 4 years old, but I remember at 8 years old because that was one of the prominent things that happened in my life. Because there was something that happened between my father and my mother, and my father left the family. And because then eventually it became a divorce, right?
Right.
And I stayed with my mom and my sister. So it was three of us. And my mom didn't come from a very well-to-do family. And she was a hairdresser. And she's still a hairdresser right now in Sabah. And she's still running that salon right now in a hotel business, right? So I saw my mom look at love very differently from what I thought in the media would be. I mean, like at that time, you watch love stories, you know, Sleepless in Seattle, all this kind of thing. Okay, it reveals my age. But yeah. So I knew that love can actually either make you whole or love can actually crumble you. So I saw my mom crumble because I remember every night at 8 years old, my sister was six then, right?
Right.
So she had a little bit less recollection about this sort of thing. But for me, I would just speak for myself. I remember every night that I would have to go into the bathroom because I remember my mom crying. I can hear my mom crying and it's only three of us, right? And every night I'll go in there and I would wipe her tears away and I'll cry together with her because my mom is crying, right? So from a very young age, I knew that, you know, love can either make you whole, or my love can treat, can make my mom that sad because of the lack of love or that separation, right? And I came to realize that, you know, I want to take love seriously because I don't want to make another person cry like my what my mom did. So which also pivoted my whole direction of how I want to treat my life and all that. So from a very young age, I grew up very independent.
Right.
The last thing I wanted to do was to become a burden to my mother.
Yeah.
While I mean that, well, I can say it right now very,
very confident. Yeah.
But when I was a kid, I was a rascal. But I was not the gangster type, you know, rascal. But I was just a type that, you know, like to talk a lot. You know, when teacher talking, I talk, but the people listen to me instead of teacher. You know, the tao tan one, you know, the fella that always kacau the class.
Yeah, yeah, the class clown, basically.
Class clown and all that, you know. And I was doing that a lot. And I was giving so much
crap.
Problem for my mother, who had to work as a hairstylist every day just to put food on the table, right? So the whole story went a little bit quicker because my mom's lawyer happened to be a Christian.
Your mom's lawyer?
Yeah, lawyer, okay, which was handling the divorce case. And she saw, he saw my mom being so sad and so, hey, why don't you come to church? So that was the first time I got involved in the whole church environment.
How old were you in this?
I was 8.
So all this happened in a span of a year.
It was within that few weeks. And my mom suddenly said, like, hey, we're going to go start going to church. Like, why are we going to church? Just treat it as Sunday school. Because Sunday really got a school. So I'm like, why Sunday have to go to school?
Monday or Friday,
but
not
my
enough.
My mom was this. So what, I give credit to my mom because my mom knew that she was never at home all the time while I was 8 years old. So she was always putting me into tuition and all that. So she didn't study a lot. So she studied until primary 6. So she couldn't give me any quality education besides going to school or going to tuition. So she felt that going to Sunday school is going to make sense because in Sunday school, everyone speaks English. My mom couldn't speak a word of English. So she sent me to an English-speaking Sunday school.
Yeah.
Hopefully, I pick up English. So I remember very when at a young age, when I went to church, I was the only one speaking Hakka the whole time.
To all the kids.
To everyone was speaking English.
Then how are you going to... they will probably don't talk to you, how?
But church people were very friendly to me. Or I think they're very friendly to me.
Right, right.
So people just start talking to me in English. I just hand them back with the Hakka. Then very quick, because when you're 8 years old, you want to fit in, you want to play with them. Yeah. So it was just playing and all that. So I pick up English very quickly.
Wow.
So I grew up in that environment. And my mom accepted Christ first at, I think she was like, at nine years old, she accepted Christ. But to me, going to church was just a thing to go and make friends, and that was it.
Right.
Until, so my mom did this thing for me. So when my mom accepted Christ, she told me that, son, I'm going to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. You don't have to rush. You can take your time.
Oh, she actually said this to you, but you...
I was 9.
You understood what she was saying or not?
Because she said that you make a choice. You don't have to rush just because I'm doing it. I think that was the biggest advice that and I remember clearly because my... So I asked, mom, why do you want to accept Jesus Christ? Because at 8 years old, I knew my mama was pagan worshipping, like, you know, any other god that can give her. You know, it was like always a trait kind of thing.
Yes.
So, but for her, she decided, no, she want to go to Jesus Christ because she think that Jesus Christ is the way for her. But she said that this is for me. You can decide for yourself and you don't have to rush. So I didn't rush it. So every Sunday, you go to church and then you learn about this guy called Jesus and there was a lot of things that they teach. You know, all the things they teach is very good. Okay, fine. But it comes to a point that when people ask you to accept or not, I say that I'm not ready. I want to make my decision. I want to think about it. So at a very young age of 12 years old, around there, people were investing into my life. So they were. So what church really did for me was, while I see... So at that whole time, I was struggling with the whole issue of whether I'm worth it or not. Whether I'm worthy or not.
Yeah.
Because my biological father decided to leave me and my mom, you know. So from the emotional state, that means I must have sucked. Because my father chose not to want to be with me. And intentionally, while she doesn't like my mother, granted, she also don't like me. So that made me, my whole self-worth was like, hey, what is this way?
Yeah.
But while I was questioning it, every Sunday there were families and people in church, and there were other godly men that exemplified to me that actually there were godly men around the house that was not just only kind on Sunday or they put on a Sunday best, But they actually invested in their time on a rascal like me. Mm. So that really changed my perspective of whether if I want to accept Jesus Christ, then I want to be like you, Ma. Mm. It's very direct one.
Yep.
So if I want to be like you, I need to ask myself whether you say all this Sunday thing, you actually do it on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday or not.
Yep.
Because if not, then you're just acting, right? Yep. But time and time again, you know, these men were faithful, and they invested. Because right now, if I look back at that time, I wouldn't give a chance to that asshole.
You wouldn't invest in you.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the key. Because if no human would, why would these guys do? And these guys don't because Jesus would. Wow. Then I knew that while it was difficult, because I relate, because it was difficult, but because I love Jesus so much, and they are only obeying what Jesus did.
Yeah.
And if that is the love, so I then from that moment on, when I decided to, okay, this is for real, I want to accept Jesus.
Yeah.
Then the next challenge came. The next challenging was, because Jesus said, "Ma, if you want me to forgive all your sins, you have to forgive other people, Ma."
That's
right.
Yeah.
So I asked myself, actually, I don't hate any people. But no, I hate one person. I don't like my father. Because my father chose not to be with me.
And to abandon the
family. I didn't do anything wrong, man.
Yeah.
Right? So, whilst my whole, everyone in my mom's side family actually hated my dad, right? Then I have to ask my question, this question is that, actually, God doesn't want me to hate my dad. So, I really seek God. I said, God, if I want you to forgive me, right, that means I have to forgive my dad. Then I asked myself, can I really forgive my dad? But I wanted Jesus so much.
Yeah.
I really wanted Jesus because Jesus was so real to me.
Yeah.
Then I said, okay, God, what do you want me to do? That's the worst thing you can ask God, because when you ask God that, God's going to tell you. God said, you have to ask for forgiveness from your dad. Wow. Ask for forgiveness, not forgive my dad. No. Ask for forgiveness because I hated my dad. Ma. So I picked up the phone. And I called my dad.
How old were you, Bennett?
I was 12. And I said, Dad, he always pick up my call one. He said, what's going on? You know, everything here. Then I said, can you please forgive me?
Wow.
Then my father cried.
Wow.
My father was like, why are you asking forgiveness? Because I hated you. And my God doesn't want me to hate anyone. And I need you to forgive me because I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Because if you forgive me and I ask for forgiveness, then I can go, I can be right with God. So my goal was not just wanting to make amends with him. I wanted to make amends with God.
Right.
Because I needed God so much in my life, because if not, I will always playing the victim.
Yeah.
I would have every excuse to do anything else and choose all the bad decisions and can just blame on my dad. But in rightly so, I have a decision to for myself to decide what I want in my life, Ma. So I remember that clearly. And because of that, my father really hated a lot of Christians. And then, you know, a lot of people say, you know, oh, Christian, you say you're so good. Because there's such a high standard for Christian, right? Yep. But when some Christians do not fail some of us, right? We said, hey, all Christian are that one. And that's really unfair, because I know a lot of good other Christ people. And I know a lot of Christians who are not, you know, for that matter. So one bad sheep doesn't defeat the whole Bible, flock, right?
Yeah.
The whole flock, right? So, but I wanted, because of that, I had an avenue to speak to my dad.
Wow.
So, ever since then, because I forgive my dad and my dad accepted it, I straight away learned the first lesson of forgiveness, because you lift that whole thing. How do you feel when... Wow, I tell you, it was super different, because I feel liberated, because everything else I was doing, I was putting it because of this situation. But without that, you don't have that doubt anymore. So that was very liberating for me. It was also very liberating for my father, because my father also felt bad. Don't tell me my father didn't feel bad for leaving me. My father is also human. But and whatever situation it was, he felt that. That's why he cried. And because of that, it broke that chain between two of us. And in after that, every year or every week, 2 weeks, we'll go out and chat, we'll talk to each other, right? He allowed me to speak into his life.
Wow.
So I
could 12-year-old boy.
Yeah, I could speak to him, but actually, Dad, I don't think what you're doing is right there. And I will say things like, Dad, why are you coming out all the time? Why don't you spend time with your children? I'm asking him to spend time with the children. I said, don't do that to that child because you did it to me. I don't think you should do that. I think you should understand why he's coming from. Because he has you, you know. I don't have you, right? But I got Jesus, lah. But that guy, that boy doesn't have Jesus, no. So I could speak to him like a peer.
Yeah.
And speak into his life because he knew that I was for real.
Yeah.
So I really enjoyed it. Even until today, when I speak to him, I can really openly rebuke him. And I said, no, that's not what Jesus expects us to do. I can talk to him about what Jesus did because no one else can talk to Jesus.
I'm very curious because while you have this, I would call this a reconciliation, by the way. And it's a huge breakthrough because something like this, it really opens up in the spiritual realm.
Correct.
It opens up so much blessing and many things can flow from this breakthrough. What was your mom's reaction to this?
My mom was so happy. Yes. So at one point, while my mom accepted Christ, my mom has his own struggles because of the hurt that he was first degree burn, ma. Because my father chose not to be with her, right?
Yes.
So she will feel rejected and all that. But I came to realize that this struggle is really between her and her journey with God. I cannot make that decision for her. But I could own up to my decision because my decision has nothing to do with her. Because my salvation and my walk with God is mine alone.
It's personal.
Why I learned that? Because she told me that it is your own walk. You make your decision, ma. So it was a long struggle, actually. So she took it hard because she thought that I was siding him.
That's exactly what I was about to say. Because, you know, you were with her and you were supporting her. You know, you wipe away her tears and everything like that.
Yes.
And now you suddenly like so kamcheng with your dad already.
Yes.
She, as a hurt party, would be thinking you sort of betray her and then you're...
Yes, I took sides, right?
Yeah.
But, I'm not going to sweetcoat the whole thing. It wasn't easy. She wasn't too happy about certain things. But one thing my mom really did, which I think was a very good thing for me, was because whilst our relationship with my father was separated, she continued to bring me back to my grandmother and my father's siblings and all that. And all my father's siblings treated us like as if nothing happened.
Right.
Whereas my father was never involved in the family affair.
Mm.
So while I was doing that, I was the one who asked, why don't we invite my dad come back?
this boy.
So because God asked us to be peacekeeper.
Peacemakers.
Peacemakers, right. So I was just doing that. I was causing trouble for my mom. It was a bit struggle for her. But I'm not going to apologize for it. But I will still say that where I'm coming from, there's a lot of assurance that I need to give to her. And I said where I'm coming from. But most of the time, it may not even come to a position whereby she can agree 100%. Sometimes you get angry, but she get angry.
Right.
Yeah.
What about your sister, Bernard? We haven't heard a lot about her.
So me and my sister relationship has been up and down.
Sure.
So we are fantastic right now.
Yeah.
But at a very young age, because I was the only man in the house, right? And a lot of times my mom is not in the house, so I take care of the house.
Yeah.
We will do chores from young. We were quite responsible and independent. So for me and my relationship with my sister, she's my friend at the time. And a lot of times because I'm the man of the house, I'm like the elder, right? I would tell her what to do and what not to do. And there was a little bit of resentment, even especially when we go into our teenage years, because she doesn't recognize me as the person of authority, and rightly so. But a lot of times I overstep my boundary and I hurt her with a lot of things that I said, you should do this, you should do this, because I'm the guy in the house. And yeah, I think that wasn't easy for her as well. I think the whole situation didn't make it easy for her. I'm guilty for most of the parts. But the great thing about two of us, because we are still very close to the church community and we had our accountability partners and also our pastors around, that even supports us as a family. So my sister is still in Sabah right now. She is married and I have two children in Sabah. And with my mom also in Sabah. But my family is here. And we are still very in good speaking terms.
So today, your relationship with your father, on speaking terms, you guys are like buddies. You guys can have a proper conversation.
Yeah, we can have meals together and all that. Yeah, sure.
That is
and
amazing.
I can even have meals with my step family.
Yeah.
I can bring them out for dinner and all that is fine.
Wow.
And my mom is okay with it right now already.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because she recognized where my position is, why I want to do this, and if she doesn't like it, she knows that it's because she doesn't like it.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with me. It doesn't affect me at all.
That's amazing to know. I'll be honest with you because I know people who didn't have a father figure growing up.
Yeah.
And I tell you the truth, and coming from a broken family and also a dysfunctional family, and if you don't have a father figure present, the children's life turn upside down.
Yeah, very quickly.
Very quickly by making a few wrong decisions. And you're right, you know. And the fact that you didn't blame, you didn't have that victim mentality is something of a major breakthrough. I very rarely hear this, by the way, Bernard. And I think God has been very gracious to you. And you mentioned that what was important was having that support system and having that church community to look out for you.
I think church really, really protected me.
Yeah.
Church really nurtured me. And really gave me, because I saw other families, actually a family can be like that one. So there is a way to do this, and their way is to follow God's law, right?
Yeah.
And to be obedient, right?
Yeah.
So it's very simple, ma. God didn't ask, actually God don't need your thing, man, you know.
That's true.
We always think that, you know, we give so much to God. You should give me that. Because that's the other God's worship, you know. I grew up in that environment.
Transactional.
You have to do this and that. But God didn't require all that, and salvation is
free.
Free. Mm. So when that happens, you can never trump God, man, because God did everything already.
Mm.
And God's only requirement for you is obedience.
Correct. Of course, much easier said than done.
But it's not transactional. Correct. So I felt that because that approach is genuine and it's that straightforward, I think it was a very easy decision.
So that's what led you to accept Christ then?
Yeah.
It's a very logical way of thinking for a 12-year-old, by the way, I have to say.
So I asked, do I want God or not? Do I need God or not? I said, I need lah. Because if these people make it right, I have no direction. I have no way of doing it. And all these right decisions that I've been making is because of godly principles helping me, right? Hey, no questions asked lah.
Yeah.
It's straight up lah, easier.
Fantastic. I mean... Yeah. It seems so simple, but a lot of people still grapple with it and still struggle with it.
Yeah, I actually think a lot of blessings we have in our life, actually the blessing become our God instead of, we should be focusing on the giver and not the giver.
Yeah. Very good. Very wise words. Right? You're right.
We always go for, you know, for me, I was not very well to do family. Like, I want to have this so that I am more secure in life.
Yeah.
If I'm more insecure in life, then I can give back to God. But God didn't require it to be this that only can give to God.
Yeah, correct. That's human's way of interpreting it.
I mean, like, God never said that, hey, you do this degree first, then you do this degree, then only...
I bless you this much, I give you this.
No,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Now, Bernard, I want to fast forward a little bit here. Sure. Now, you've spoken at length about your background and your childhood, and... By the way, thanks a lot for being so open and honest with us. And I want to fast forward right now to let's go to uni time, because you know, you're 12 years old, you're in Sabah, maybe Lim Sek Sai Kai, you know, now 18 years old, you know, you're going uni, you come to KL, you probably know a little bit more things, you know, you look around, like, oh, the bright lights in the city.
Yeah.
What was Bernard like in uni? Because we know, let's be honest, like, even though I'm a Christian as well, our Christian walk is not all the way hi, mama. They're also ups and downs, and you go through the valleys as well. So what was your life like in uni? What did you study?
Accounting. and by the way, Kwa Poket was my partner in KPMG. He was the partner in KPMG that time. And
no way.
When I first went to KPMG, I did that for 2 years.
Right.
Before I changed direction to go into media and entertainment.
So you studied accounting and then you were also an accountant for 2 years.
I was a tax consultant.
My goodness gracious me. It's a small world. So you studied accounting,
Of accounting was like this. Because my mom, you know, because my mom didn't study much, so she said that, hey, you need to be professional, you know. Chinese typical Asian family. So he said, you can be all these so-called professionals, but one thing you cannot become. You cannot become a lawyer, he told me.
Oh.
He said that because you can talk so much, you can argue so well. If you become a lawyer, the innocent will become guilty and the guilty will become innocent.
So even the fish is dead, so they
So I didn't do that. So I did accounting because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do. But I knew that in accounting, it's the you have to go to the fund. Every industry also need an accountant.
Stable, secure.
It's stable person. So I went that. So the funny story also is, how do I did that?
Oh.
So I come from a very single family. My mom was just a hairdresser, right?
Yeah.
A hairstylist. So I, at a young age, remember I told you that I never wanted my mom to outpour too much money, right? So what I would do is, every semester, every 3 months, there is an education fair next to my mom's salon, because it's in a hotel. I will go to that education fair. I will talk to everyone, because I'm there the whole day, mate.
Right.
And I find out how much is every cost.
Oh.
Because I didn't want my mom to pay so much, and I want to plan, I want to make sure that I choose the right one, just in case if my mom have the money to do and study, I don't waste my mom's money. So every year I count up. Because then, at a very young age, at every holiday, I'll go and work in a different industry. And how I go and work is because I ask the church uncle, hey uncle, you're an architect, right? Can I come and intern in your office? And you don't have to pay me one. I just help you do. Because I learned from a young age that if you want to become an accountant, you never ask a tailor how to become an accountant. I learned that if you want to become a fireman, you never ask a postman how to become a fireman. You ask the person who's doing it.
Yeah.
So the best way to do it is you go and you intern for them and you just work for them and you see whether you like the environment. So from a young age, I knew that. So very early, I knew that, wow, you know, study education so expensive.
Right.
My mom cut hair or cut how many hair only can go and send me to education. So I found one way. I asked them, how do I get it free? Is it?
No, it's a no-brainer, by the way.
So is it you either get all A's and maybe you can get it, or you get a sports scholarship. So that was why at 12 years old, when I accepted Christ already, I decided to go and swim. I trained swimming. Why I trained swimming? Because I want to be on the States team.
Right.
Because in swimming, I only depend on myself and not other lousy teammates. Because if you pass the ball wrong to this teammate and he didn't score, you lose the game, you cannot become state representative. So the only way that I can ensure that I go into the state team and get a scholarship is I can swim fast, right?
Yes.
So the logic is, I become a state swimmer.
The way you think, Bernard.
Hey, this is from a poor man's story. Because my mom no money, ma. So I went, I found, I represent you. If I can represent state, right? I can get full scholarship, man.
Oh.
So I went out at 12 years old. I went states team. I train and I train every day. I'll swim at least 15 kilometers under the states team.
No joke.
And I went to state team. I represented state at 13 years old. All the way until I finished my uni so that I can represent state all the way. And I was pretty good, because of course, if you put your time in the effort, you'll be good on.
15 kilometers? Yeah, yeah. I think you have to be somewhere.
So I trained the states team and I went into states team and I did it and I hit my time and represent the state and I get the scholarship. Then I went to uni, and my uni was free.
Wow.
That's how I did it. So I went accounting, then I choose out accounting. Okay, then I did accounting.
Yeah.
And then when my final year, I came to Inti College Nilai.
Mm.
And I studied there. So that is the whole thing, that the whole story changed, because Inti College Nilai, at that time, they wanted the whole university to be English speaking. And I was very English speaking because my first language is English.
Yeah.
So naturally, all these events, hey, they need a host. They look for me, the host.
Right.
And I have no problem hosting because of the training in church and youth ministry taught me. Because every Friday or every Saturday, I'm running youth ministry.
Right.
I'm serving in the ministry. I'm worship leading in the ministry. I'm leading a cell group. I'm leading a zone. Speaking to 100 people is the same as speaking to 2,000 people. I just know what I talk about. I just talk only. So I became the host of every so-called big events in Indy College. And then from there, and I said, hey, actually, I can do a bit of hosting. And then, so because at that time, during those days, the only cool thing, because I studied in Inti College in Nilai, right? So the only hot place that time was Times Square or Sungai Wang.
Wow, that's so old, bro.
Hey, please, I said it was 40. When I expect man, bro.
Square, Sungai Wang.
So Sungai Wang was the place. So I will follow my friend's car because I'm a popular kid in school. Everyone can, I know, hey, can I follow your car? Sure can, because they know who you are, right? So I went down to KL. But one of those trips, my friend said, hey, I want to drop by in this place. I said, where is this? Bukit Jalil. Huh? What are you going to Bukit Jalil for? I'm going to Astro because he said that I want to interview for host. So I have to go along, I have to wait. But went into the hall, there was 800 people inside. All auditioning. So I said, since I'm waiting for you, I might as well. Then at the end of the 800, they only found 2 person. I was one of them.
Wow.
And because they have my profile, then I continued doing my thing, all that kind of thing. And I graduated from Inti College.
Yep.
Then I went to accounting for 2 years. Then that was how Astro called me up because they have a show. they wanted me to host.
Right.
So that whole story is another story because in my uni days, I was sought after by Taiwanese Hong Ki Bunya recording labels to become an artist.
Yeah.
And I remember for like 3 weeks every day, I called my mom and begged my mom to allow me to go. So the logic was, hey, this whole study, I can stop anytime I want. I can continue anytime I want. Hey, since I get university, I get the scholarship, right? You didn't pay for it, what?
So it's my decision to make, lor?
Yeah, lor. So I didn't waste your money, what?
Right.
So I want to go. I told my mom said no, no. Because my mom said, I work so hard so they can go to... She tell me only thing about. I said, mom, I can always do accounting. One plus one can always be whatever number you want it to be. One.
Creative accounting.
By the way, Kobo Ket didn't teach me that.
I was about to say, my church chairman is watching this.
It's a joke. But I thought that I can always come back to do this, right?
Right.
But I heard God, you know.
And what did God say?
God told me, obey your parents. Wow, that was hard. And all my non-Christian friends were with me that time. Saw me struggle every night. And at the end, I have to say no to all these labels. And they asked me why. Because I have to honor my mom. And everyone was like, why? No, because I heard God and God wants me to do this. So that was like crazy.
Yeah.
But I didn't come to know. But because I heard God so clearly and God was so real to me. So I always knew that if I hear God, I won't go wrong.
Yeah.
But it was a hard thing to do because, I don't want to say names, that label, that the fella that just came to Malaysia and did concert one, that company.
So
I rejected all that idea. Then 2 years later, that Astro came and asked for me.
Right.
Then I remember what I was doing accounting. I said, God, I told the producer, I'm only going to do it if my mom says yes. Huh? How old are you now? I said, I'm 24.
Yeah.
I said, but I will get back to you. So I prayed about it. Lord, I said, I'm done wrestling with this anymore. I don't want to ask anymore. I said, Lord, if it is your will, you ask my mom to say yes. My goal was, if I ever want to do anything, if my mom say yes, that's your signal. Because in my logical mind, it says, my mom didn't study that much.
Yeah.
She only know how to cut hair. What does she know about everything about corporate world or even like work and all that, right? Or even anything of that matter. So that was me belittling my mom. But I also knew that the devil want me to think otherwise. So I say, God, I leave it to you because I only want to hear you. I don't hear my mom. I don't hear anyone else. I want to hear you only. If you make my mom say no, which is the most likely to say, if my mom say yes, which likely most likely to say no, then I know it's yes. And then I asked my mom. My mom said, okay, go. Next day, I straight away resign. Now, I didn't see the fruits of it, because when I went into the industry at 24, I was considered old already. A bit older. When I went to that show, show was called Motosikal. It's about a story. It's a reality program. The reason why they choose me was because they remembered in that audition, they remembered there was a boy from Sabah who was in the whole audition, speak different language. And he was just going on and on and on. He wasn't Kam Kai because he couldn't speak Mandarin, right? And he just went on and on. This is the person who can do this show because that show is about an accountant who resigned his job and decided to take on the motorbike and travel whole of West Malaysia and just go traveling different places. So at that time, Survivor was on. The whole thing about reality TV was on. Survivor, you have what's the Trump show again? Apprentice.
Yeah, The Apprentice.
Survivor, this kind of show was happening. So Astro wanted to produce a show about a reality of someone who just decided to quit the job and go and enjoy the journey of traveling Malaysia. And we went to all these places that Chuti Malaysia doesn't talk about.
Right.
And that show became the second highest rating TV show at that time.
Wow.
Because of that concept. And I did it. And because of that, then that was how I started. So they were paying me pretty good sum of money for the first season.
Yeah.
And I thought that if I did this whole season... And if it doesn't work out, I can always go back to accounting.
Because you have a degree, you got a job, everyone needs an accountant.
Correct.
Yeah.
So but when I went and did it, that's like the first question. I had to learn my Mandarin, had to learn it the hard way. And I would take a newspaper out, dictionary and all that. And I did that. And I went in there and 16 years later, I'm still doing it.
Crazy. That's madness, by the way.
Yeah.
And but it's so interesting because I think one of the things that I can see very clearly in your life is how obedient. I think obedience is a big word. That's something you learn as a very, very, very young boy. And you carry it through in your teenage years and in your working life as a young working adult. And even now as an adult as well. And so that's something that I can clearly see as well. And, you know, it's something that is, of course, when we say this, God is just looking for obedience. It's so much easier said than done. Because I'm sure when this labels that which we're not going to name is looking for you, it's very hard to say no, because I mean this could open up a world of opportunities for you could be not just in Malaysia, it could be Asia.
So, you're right. So I didn't want to do something that God doesn't want me to do. I always recognize that all my gifts and my abilities is because of church and because God put people into my life, and it cannot be to serve me only. God only wants to do this because for God's purpose, ma.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing it for my purpose, how can I justify that it's God's purpose?
Yeah.
Unless God wants me to do it. So my I rather do something where God is in it than to do something on it, then only justify my way out of it. I just don't know. So even right now, if this whole Musang King channel thing or this whole agency approach or even this artist thing doesn't work, I'm still very secure one. I won't be, because I lost a job. Oh, what am I going to do about it? No way. Because if I recognize who the giver is, I won't be fixated. Idolizing. I won't be fixated or just focus on the gifts, ma.
Correct.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't really spoken a little bit about this very important figure in your life. You know who I'm talking about? Your wife.
Oh.
And I just wanted to sort of...
She's the most amazing person. And I love her so much.
I push up your volume a little bit some more.
She's the most, I said again, she's the most important person in my life.
That's right.
She's my best decision ever.
There we go.
My best investment.
Second best decision after accepting
Jesus. No, it's my... I don't know whether she... Yeah, it's the most second one.
Now, Bernard, because, you know, I'm married as well, you know. Of course, you're much my senior, right? Sure. But I'm married for a couple of years now.
Sure.
And for me, I recognize how important it is to have a godly partner, a woman who knows the fear of the Lord, and how instrumental a wife can be in your journey of faith, because you experience it with your own mom as well. Yeah. You choose the wrong partner, life can turn out very differently.
Yeah.
You choose the right partner, and life can also turn out very much beautifully in a different way. How instrumental was your wife in your journey?
I think...
Better answer...
Okay,
just so you know. Yeah. Take your time.
No. If I take my time, she asks, why you take so long? You think so long for what? Huh? Everything asks so... You haven't finished your answer already. Why now this one takes so long? You think so hard, man?
I'm praying for you in my heart right now, Holy Spirit.
Okay, so... I think... I always approach it from a perspective of... my wife is my best friend.
Yeah.
There is no acting in front of her. Mm. She can smell it from a sniff away, or you know, we wait until she knows me the best.
Yeah.
But granted, living with someone else is very different from dating with someone.
Sure.
Right. So marriage has its challenges, especially, you know, you will progress from, you know, lovebirds, then you go into you date the person, and then you propose to the person, then marriage, right? Then the whole dynamics would a bit change. It'll be challenging a little bit more when you stay together. Then later on, you have parenthood.
Yeah.
From the first child, then the second child, and then how do you start giving, nurturing your children? Then there's a whole expectation. But finding someone that have the same faith, I think, is very, very crucial. And I say that to my staff as well. I say that not because I want them to be Christian, even though I hope they will become. One day. But I told them that finding someone of the same faith actually helps you a lot, because you won't be arguing things and have to getting someone to understand why you're doing what you're doing. And you don't have to argue about it. Yeah. I think that really helps in just the logical, and as you can see right now, we're around 30 minutes into the show already. You know that I'm a very logical person. Right? I just didn't want to have to argue why am I giving tithes.
Because you all share the same values and principles.
Right. I just think that if I find someone else of a different faith.
Yeah.
And then when our children comes, I would think that the best is for them is like that. And then she would think that the best is like that. Then I have the no argument. It's just more conflict and conflict. So to me, finding someone of the same faith doesn't mean that you're free of conflict either.
Yeah.
And that's already, staying with someone, there's whole yeah, challenge to build lah, you know, because I think a relationship takes 2 persons to build.
Yeah.
Yeah. And she has her own ideal, I have my own ideal. Yeah. So I think finding someone who understands you, that even in the harshest times that you know that this person loves the Lord, gives you a glimpse of hope. And I'm saying it for experience because, mind you, I have the worst arguments with my wife as well. You will always find your worst argument with someone else is definitely someone closest to you.
Yeah.
Your most real and the most hurtful words are genuinely people who are closest to you because they know you and you will expect less from them. But because they know you so well, those words, if other people say it, doesn't matter or not.
Correct.
But because these people say it hurts you more.
Mm.
So I think, yeah, it's just finding someone. But at the end of the day, while these people hurt you, you know that there's an ability to forgive that person and a hope for the best and can reconcile back together because you know, two of you know where God wants this family to go. I think it humbles both parties.
Yeah.
And that is the beautiful thing. I think while modern relationships and modern thinking is talking about me, I think relationship has to go to another. Because if everyone's thinking about me, who's thinking about us?
Yeah.
If you're always going to a relationship to get what you want to get,
then
what happens is that person decided to change and don't want to give you anymore. Then your identity changes or, you know, where's your value? So for me, it's never about me. It's never just about us. It's all about what's God's expectation about us.
Yeah.
I think that balances the whole thing out because you know God is for me, who can be me. You know where God wants to build this family across, then you'll be in safe hands.
Amen. Very good. Yeah. Very well said. Now, Bernard, we're slowly running out of time here.
So fast. Let's do a second episode. Yeah.
Part two will come very, very soon. But, you know, that's how good the conversation has been. You don't even realize how fast time has passed, right? So quickly. And that's always a good sign. But, you know, we are slowly running out of time here. But I want to ask you, you know, as you talk about your life, as you talk about your mom and your dad and even your wife and things like that and the family that you have your own family now today, when you look back in your life, what is one thing you like, if you could tell the audience, what is one thing you like the audience to know about God, about our God? I know it's a very deep,
it's very reflective and why God means something for me.
Yeah.
I think in the society today, they are telling you that you can decide what is best for you. If you look at the social media out right now, and actually, by the way, social media is right now defined by algorithm. It's not decided by truths. I think everyone wants to understand what is truth. There is a thing about everyone's conscience have to have a balance of what is right, what's wrong. But what's right 20 years ago may not be right today. What's acceptable 30 years ago may not be acceptable today. So where is the standard of right and wrong? The media today is telling you that as long as everybody thinks it's okay, it doesn't hurt anyone, it's okay. But that whole premise can be quickly changed if I change the media landscape. I think we owe it to ourselves, or even the question that we need to ask ourselves is not just what I feel about it. Think about it, if you don't have a child, how are you going to tell a child? Are you going to tell a child that, you know, if everybody thinks it's okay, it's okay. I don't think you tell a child that.
Yeah.
Is taking people's stuff okay as long as you can justify it?
No.
If nobody finds out about it?
It's still not okay.
But nobody finds out about it. You see how everything can be pivoted? I think, where is your source of truth in everything you do? And it's very hard today because everyone is giving their part, and you just pick and choose, you know. You find your truth. I like this truth, so I subscribe to it. I can identify it. That's why you have to respect me because I identify with it. Am I? Just because you identify it, that means I have to accept you as that. That's not entirely true. So I think finding truth is important.
Yep.
And where is your source of truth? For me, the source of truth is from the Bible. That never changed. For 2,000 over years, it has always been the same truth. It's always have a higher calling than what societal degrees. I mean, like, you talk about societal, what happened 2 months ago today also may change.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it's a balance of what is right, what is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
it's a balance of evil and truth, and there's light and darkness lah. To me, the Bible, yeah, lays it pretty up well. Yeah.
Fantastic. Yeah. Finding your source of truth.
Yeah.
And telling people where your source of truth comes from as well. And it's true. Our source of truth is the Bible. Yeah. It will not change. I like what you said. It will not change. It's never changed from 2,000 years ago. Mm. Hasn't changed today. It won't change as well.
Even some denomination will say that it's their way. Lah. Mm. So be very mindful about when you see denomination out also. Find out also whether this truth serves you or does it serve God.
Yeah.
Because God didn't create something to serve you. And God created something at the end of the day is to glorify Him. Man.
Yep, that's right. Yeah. Amen. Very good. Bernard, before I let you go, is it okay if I prayed for you very quick? Come, let's just pray for Bernard. Lord, we just want to thank you, Lord Jesus, for this conversation. We thank you for Bernard, especially for his life, oh God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have spoken so clearly through him, Lord. Thank you for him being so open and honest with us and so vulnerable to share, Lord, even his past, his family, his background with us. And even right now, Lord Jesus, as he approaches a milestone in his life, Lord, 40 years old, and he's seen your goodness for 40 years, Lord Jesus, and he looks forward to the next 40 years, and he's asking you, Lord, what do you want to do with me? What do you want to do with my life? What can I do for you in the next 40 years? We pray, oh God, that you speak to him so clearly, Lord, that Holy Spirit, you will reveal to him the plans, Lord Jesus, that you have for him, Lord, the plans that you have for his wife, the plans that you have for them as a couple, and the plans that you have for them as a family, Lord. We know whatever the plan is, it is the best plan, not just a good plan, but the best plan, oh God. And so we pray, Lord Jesus, that Bernard, Lord, will continue to have the heart of obedience, Lord Jesus, continue to have the servant's heart as he serves you, Lord Jesus, through his work, through his ministry, through his platform. And we just want to pray that you bless him, Lord Jesus. You expand his territory, Lord Jesus, that through his life, Lord, through his testimony, many will come to know of the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we pray you bless the family as well, Lord Jesus. May his kids be able to look up to him, that he'll be a great role model, Lord, to his children and to the next generation as well, not just his own, but to everyone else who looks up to him. And so we thank you, Lord, for his life. We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us tonight as well and being so present, Lord, in this conversation. We commit Bernard and his family into your loving hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bernard, thank you so much for coming in today. I really, really appreciate it. And I'm personally very blessed as well by your sharing. I identify a lot with everything, a lot of things that you said. And personally, I've been very, very touched as well. Before I let you go, is there any last words that you'd like to say before I close the show and do our social media shout-outs, anything the Holy Spirit impresses upon your heart?
I mean, yeah, I think in this whole generation of media, and of course, yeah. I mean, both of us are in the media, right?
Yeah.
We do our best in shining light and decisions, what we're going to do. Mm. I think that if you are members of the body of Christ, right? Mm. We want to see, because if every weekend we go to church and it's like 53 weekends, right?
Yeah.
What truth are you sharing out? Just look up at your social that you share, right? Mm. Any of this truth that is valuable to you, this Bernard is a very famous guy and he's sharing his truth. Mm. Actually, it's not just me, right? There are some truth that you hold dear to. Mm. You look at the story that you watch today or the reels you watch today, are you contributing to that? Or are you the salt of the earth and light of the world? Whilst it's easier for us to communicate, are we communicating Jesus or even your truth?
Wow.
Yeah, use that approach. I think your church social media will need a lot of help also in that area.
Amen. Anyone needs help, please reach out to Bernard. He's open. Let us know in the comments down below as well. Guys, speaking about it, Bernard, on behalf of the entire LGR team, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate the presence here. And to the rest of you guys, you know, thank you so much for watching as well. If you guys want to watch more episodes like this, do subscribe to our YouTube channel. It is at letsgetreal.my. You can follow us on social media as well. We're on Facebook and Instagram at the same username at letsgetreal.my. And don't forget as well, we have a Discord community server and it's a very cool community there. You can join with the link in the description box below. Other than that, Bernard, thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you.
And God bless you guys as well for watching. Until next time, we'll see you guys again. This is Let's Get Real with me, Brandon Ho and Bernard.
Ciao.
Saying bye-bye. Hey, what's up, guys? Thank you so much for tuning in to yet another episode on Let's Get Real.
If you want to see more episodes like this, be sure to subscribe to our channel, like the video, comment, and share it with your friends.
And if you want to support our ministry by giving your love gifts, you can do so with the bank details that you see on the screens right now.
Be sure to earmark LGR or Let's Get Real so that we know your giving will be used for this ministry.
Thank you so much for watching. Until next time, God bless and bye-bye. Bye.